Good morning, Santa Fe, and welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting live from the Santa Fe Baking Company, streaming on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org, where you can hear the show anytime you want, thanks to Santa Fe's Dot Foil Computer Services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes, and you can find us at facebook.com/radiocafe. So later in the show, Robert Knott is going to be with us, speaking of the arts. Right now, I would like to welcome Bill Hutchison. He is with the Santa Fe Animal Shelter and Humane Society, and he's with us the first Friday of every month. Now, this is the second Friday, but that's because it was New Year's Day. It was a holiday.
But that Friday doesn't even count.
I
vaguely remember it.
It was a different kind of...
I wasn't even messed up. I was just kind of still in that holiday fog.
Well, are you out of that holiday fog now enough to talk about bunnies and kitties and...
I suppose so. The fog seems to have transferred from the interior to the exterior as I... look outside our beautiful window view here.
A hazy day it is indeed.
Yes. So Mary Charlotte and I, our listeners may not know this, strategically plan out each of our 12 or so episodes each year so that one feeds seamlessly into the next, creating a whole comprehensive picture of animal welfare. And so as we were carefully planning this year, last night on the phone, desperately wondering what we were going to talk about this morning, we hit upon the very first thing we'll talk about. I was doing good up until the point where I admitted the truth, huh? It sounded really good.
Go ahead.
We decided we'd talk about some of the less known denizens of the Santa Fe Animal Shelter, our small mammals. Mary Charlotte was surprised to find out, as I'm sure some of you are, that the Santa Fe Animal Shelter has a sizable population beyond the dogs and cats. We get a number of small mammals every year. I'm talking in the hundreds. This is rabbits, ferrets, guinea pigs, hamsters, gerbils, rats, mice, all of which, with some debate, make really good pets. They become really good companions. Many people talk about them as starter pets, but there's a lot that you can learn in a relationship even with a small mammal.
I object categorically to the term starter for anything.
I felt bad even as I said it. But yes, let's say, yeah, that's very true. I mean, this is really sort of the problem with small mammals and why they get themselves into trouble and end up in shelters anyway, because they are valued less or as less important than dogs or cats. And while indeed the personality is much different and the relationship between humans and these rodents and other small mammals are not nearly as symbiotic, we would be remiss if we didn't acknowledge that their lives have tremendous value.
Well, I find it extraordinary, or correct me if I'm wrong, but are you finding that people are surrendering their gerbils because of the economic crisis?
Sometimes it's surprisingly, yes, sometimes it's the economic crisis, because when you lose your home, you lose the opportunity to have to maintain the lifestyle that you had before. And for a lot of people, that involves cats and dogs. For others, it's cats and dogs and the hamsters that were in the kids' room, because now perhaps everybody's sleeping in much more cramped quarters, etc. Sometimes it's that not all pet stores that sell hamsters and gerbils are quite as diligent as they might be in making sure that the boys are with the boys and the girls are with the girls, and so very quickly a population can get out of control and overwhelm a family, and then the shelter ends up with 16 or 17 or 18 all at one time. And then we do our best, of course, to isolate them and adopt them out as single gender, one gender to each little cohabitation. But this is precisely why your point, Mary Charlotte, about starter pets is very good, because it's this lack of thinking, I think, sometimes on the front end that can get people into situations that are very difficult for them, that feel difficult.
You know, it's something that I wonder about, and that you probably know way more about than I do, but having had a hamster as a child, one thing I perceived at the tender age of 9 was that the hamsters were very unhappy, that they didn't want to be running around in the wheel. They wanted to be out in nature, even though if they had gotten out, actually one of them got out and got eaten by my dog, and the other got out and went across the driveway and no doubt died. But, you know, I did have multiple hamsters, and they were cuter than cute can be, but they were clearly unhappy. And I wonder that for fish in a tank. I mean, to whatever extent they have consciousness of happiness or not, whatever. I wonder that about rabbits, about ferrets. I know that cats basically can be happy in your house, and dogs, if you walk them enough and treat them well, really are capable of true happiness in a domestic situation? What about rodents?
It's a very good question, and I think it's a difficult one to answer because I feel like I wear two hats in this. On one hand, I don't want the answer that I will doubtless give you momentarily to be viewed as the platform of the whole animal shelter, because I would just hesitate to speak for all of my colleagues on this. But and I also think that the work we do in rehoming these little mammals is important because they are already caught up in this strange sort of network of relationships that we have with the animals that we share on the planet. So I think that is a good thing to, once they are already living in that strange life.
They're already domesticated to some extent.
One can't really just turn them loose in the daisy field and hope that all will be well. That being said, I do have a great deal of difficulty sometimes seeing fish tanks or snakes or reptiles in a tank, or hamsters and gerbils in a cage, and mice. Rats I feel less so, because one can have, as strange as it sounds, a pretty personal relationship with a rat. As I was surprised to discover in my years at the shelter, we've had three rats over my 7 years there that were really just unbelievable creatures. And I suspect there are those that would say that about the
other. So they're friendly, they get to know you.
They're very personal, they recognize people they care about, they will come to their name. They're very, very intelligent.
Oh, dear.
And there are those who...
It gives laboratory rats a whole new...
Oh, it absolutely does. Ferrets also, rabbits... But these really small rodents who I think have, and I'm by no means a biologist, and I don't mean to sound like I am, but who have much less complicated brains, I think, than some of these slightly larger mammals, it's painful to watch them in there because I do think it's antithetical to the nature of their being. A lot of people, probably much smarter than me, would disagree with that, but nevertheless, it's hard to ignore that overwhelming feeling.
Well, if you, for example, if you have a hamster, and it has some of those I've seen in pet stores, these amazing situations with all kinds of tunnels, and you know, there's a lot for them to do besides run around on this one little wheel in a one square footprint cage.
That's something we learn even from our cats and our dogs. A dog can be pretty happy in a home where it's getting plenty of psychological stimulation and mental enrichment. If it's not, if it's living in a sort of sterile, small, cramped environment with nothing to do except stare at the walls, it will
watch TV, eat Pringles.
Bingo. It will be as unhealthy as those of the Homo sapien species that do the same thing. But I think, indeed, any animal that's given a tremendous lifestyle like that, where there's a lot of enrichment, there's a lot of things to keep it occupied and busy, because animals are programmed to do what they do, and they just need to be doing it to feel healthy. And I think one of those amazing habit trails is a great example. I don't know that there are a lot of those really great examples in the mammals that live in the world, but the small mammals that live in our domesticated world. But I do think that even if they're living in a small tank and it is painful for some perhaps overly sensitive people to watch them, such as myself, there's still an opportunity to learn something from them and learn something from the interaction with them. And I think the story you tell of being a 9-year-old girl watching these animals in the cage is a part of your evolution as a person who engages with animals in the world. I think there is always something to be gained in our relationship from our relationship with them, and I think for you it was a greater sense, as it was for me with the guinea pigs and hamsters and gerbils I had as a kid, that a chance to learn a greater sensitivity toward animals. Whether everybody agrees with us or not, we all have those moments of increasing our ability to really empathize with a species not our own, and that's an incredibly important moment. Whether it happens with a dog, a cat, a gerbil, a rabbit, a ferret, that it happens, I think, is what's most important.
Well, like dogs, a lot of these other creatures are social animals that do better in at least pairs, if not small groups, although it's a lot harder to maintain a whole, would you call it, pack of hamsters?
A bundle? A tribble.
A pride?
I think it's a tribble of hamsters.
Really?
No. Yes, they indeed are social animals. One gerbil in a cage, all I can say is imagine any mammal in the world in a small enclosed area by itself. There's nary a mammal on the planet that would be able to thrive in that kind of situation all by itself. No mate, no offspring, one little you in a little glass room, that's terrible. All of us would freak out. But indeed, one of the things that we can do for them is to provide them some sort of social atmosphere. And we see it a lot with the gerbils and the hamsters. I can replay tapes in my brain of watching them in the shelter. And they do engage with each other, I think, as a way to maintain themselves. And that's really important for them.
So you have hamsters and gerbils and ferrets and bunnies in the animal shelter right now?
Just about at all times. I don't know that we have any ferrets right now. We probably get anywhere from 20 to 30 ferrets a year. Guinea pigs, of course, we saw that massive upswing with the release of G-Force last year. But we always have them. Lots of gerbils and hamsters that tend to come in waves throughout the year. And bunnies, which we have in profusion right now. I will use this as the effortless radio-style segue to tell you about an event that we're having on Sunday, which carries on this theme of social animals. New Mexico House Rabbit Society will be at the Santa Fe Animal Shelter on Sunday, this Sunday, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Where the adoption event, they'll be bringing up some of their bunnies. We'll have our bunnies there, but most of the bunnies there will be bonded pairs. Folks may not know that rabbits are... I consider myself something of a lagomorphophobe. I'm a little bit scared of rabbits, but I have
seen... Is that the first time the word lagomorphophobe has been uttered?
I'm not entirely sure it is a word. I know that rabbits are lagomorphs, and I know that I'm phobic of them, so I make the obvious and often incorrect leap. But I have really grown out of that, I think, a lot in watching Beth, our bunny volunteer, and other volunteers and other rabbits over the years at the shelter. They're deeply intelligent, curious, happy, very playful. I've just seen amazing things with bunnies. And if you have never they can be litter box trained. They have their favorite toys.
That's the key.
It absolutely is. Friends, if you get a pet bunny, he or she can be litter box trained.
Litter box trained, no predators in the house.
No predators in the house, ideally. Although I have heard of dogs and bunnies and cats and bunnies cohabitating peacefully, I suspect there were some very wary and long-term and long introductions at the beginning of that. So these bunnies, at the very least, I would encourage folks to come out and see what kind of companion a rabbit really can be. In my house with the dogs and the cats, who are for the most part well-adjusted, but I'm not entirely sure would accept a rabbit into the home, I will not be bringing them home, but had I a different life, not this one, I would definitely entertain the idea of bringing a rabbit into my home as a companion. They're really wonderful. So you'll be able to meet some of these bonded pairs. They get very, very, very close to each other. Elmer and Elsie will be there. Buster and Hannah. Skittles and Clover. They're really very sweet.
Do they know their names?
I don't know if they come to their names. That's not the bunnies that we've tended to have in the shelter. Aren't always called by their names because they tend to get renamed when they go home.
So the upside of that is you can rename them anything you want, and they'll probably still either come or not come just as much as or little
it
as they did
before. It seems like there's a strong possibility. But I know that, say, when you give them some of their favorite treats, they will come hopping up to Beth eagerly and enthusiastically once they realize what she's up to. A lot of personality, much more personality. This is not damning with faint praise, I'm telling you. Meet a bunny and you will see that that there is no hyperbole here.
Will they cuddle in your lap while you're sitting on the couch?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I've seen Beth carry her bunnies around like little babies, and they nuzzle right under the crook of her arm and fall asleep.
That's cute.
It is. It's nauseatingly cute.
So you've got a bunny event.
We do have our bunny event. Come see us on Sunday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. I want to push while we're here some of my favorite animals that we have for adoption right now. They're really dear. There's a couple of dogs, small dogs that we have. If you're thinking small dogularly, then boy, do I have answers for you. One is Roxy, who's a particular favorite of mine. We lost our very sweet Chloe in December, as listeners will remember, and a few days ago adopted a very, very, very wonderful new friend into our home, Finn. Finn trumped Roxy, who I want to tell you about. Roxy was really close, came really close to living in our house. She's a female.
You should have gotten them both.
I thought about it, but frankly, that would have been a hard sell with the other humans who live in my house,
yes.
If you know what I'm saying. Roxy's a Corgi German Shepherd mix, or at least that's what we call her because it's what she looks like. Who knows what she really is. She's very, very sweet. We think she'd probably do better without any other dogs in the house, and probably not cats either. She's less than a year old. She's really just wonderful. She has this spark that you see in that's very rare, I think, even in the most wonderful dogs. She is just a lively little firecracker.
Now, what is it, a German Shepherd head on a corgi body?
No, she looks like she has the coloring of a German Shepherd, brown, the sort of brown and black coloring, but she's this strange miniaturized body shape of a corgi, but with thin legs instead of those broader legs of a corgi.
Right.
She's very odd. We call her the Corgi German Shepherd mix, less because that's perhaps what she actually is, and more because at least it gives some vague idea of what she might look like.
My friend was telling me about a German Shepherd Chihuahua mix that he met, and it had the size of a Chihuahua and the bark of a Chihuahua, but the exact look of a German Shepherd seen through, you know, the wrong end of the binoculars.
Right, the classic mini Shep.
Very odd.
Yeah, Ren 10
anyway,
Tiny.
So there's Roxy, that's a good dog.
She is, and on the other end of the spectrum is the 8-year-old Natalie, who's a Chihuahua we recently got into the shelter. Natalie is in dire need of somebody to Jenny Craig her big time. Natalie probably could stand to lose half her body weight right now.
Uh-oh, a chubby Chihuahua.
She's the chubbiest of Chihuahuas. In fact, we have a volunteer who's very fond of her and walks her out. And every time I call the dog Fatty, she gets very upset with me and says that I'm damaging her self-esteem. So I'm trying very hard to stop calling her Fatty, but when you look at her and feel deep affection for her, as I do,
sweet and good.
It's impossible not to call her Fatty. It's just like a term of sweet endearment.
Right.
She's wonderful.
Well, then when she loses weight, you can call her Patty.
She follows us all over the shelter. She's just so eager to connect and really just needs somebody to help her shed a few unnecessary pounds. If you find yourself in the same boat after the holidays, friends, Natalie is the dog for you.
My dog, Honey, gained some weight over the holidays.
Most of the mammals, in fact, all of the mammals in my home did over the holidays. Representatives of each species got a little rounder than perhaps they ought to have.
But I've said this before, but I'll say it again. Diet and exercise. If you measure to ask the vet, how much food does a Chihuahua normally need? And then you measure that amount morning and evening or whenever you feed them. And it's a miracle.
It works.
I had a
friend who had an 8-pound Chihuahua who needed to get down to about 7 pounds. The 8 pounds really genuinely was too heavy. She counted out 6 kibble for her in the morning and 6 kibble for her in the evening. And that was Betsy's diet. And it worked. She shed those unwanted pounds in a hot...
unwanted ounces.
That's right. They were gone fast.
That's not very much food.
No, but when you're that tiny, you need a very small amount of calories to sustain you and not get a little poorly.
I guess it depends on the size of the kibble also.
Indeed. They were monstrous kibble.
Ah, okay.
The size of salt licks. We also have a couple of cats who I want to tell you about. They're old cats. Not too old, 11 and 12, but they're senior guys. They're sweet old men. They look a little rough, Keats and Dempsey, and they're really just dear, and they've been in the shelter for quite a while, and it's hard, I think, for some of these senior animals. These guys have seen 11 and 12 years, respectively, of life and experience, and now they're in the shelter, which, while as wonderful as we try to make it, it's still not a replacement for a home. So if you feel like you can take in these two old guys, Keats and Dempsey...
A poet and a boxer.
That's it. Check them out on the website. You'll see what I mean when they actually look like they've been on the wrong end of a few rounds of boxing. But they're just wonderful. And if you can open your heart wider past their appearance, then I think you'll be shocked at what kind of companions these guys will make. You can visit all of our adoptables on our website at sfhumanesociety.org. If you ever feel like you want to give us a call, the number is 983-4309. And do visit us on Sunday, 10 to 2, at the shelter.
Now, there will be people there who can advise potential adopters about bunny care.
The New Mexico House Rabbit Society will be there en masse and will be talking. They will answer all the bunny questions. Luckily, we didn't pose ourselves any difficult bunny questions simply because we probably wouldn't know the answers. But these folks from New Mexico House Rabbit Society they're wicked bunny smart.
New Mexico House Rabbit Society.
House rabbits like house cats.
Yeah.
So they'll tell you
all
about the toys they love, how to litter box train them, what kind of companions they make, how to work with them. They're really wonderful.
Do they sleep with you?
They certainly have with some of the bunny owners I know. Some of the bunny people I know are bunny devotees through and through, and they have very, very, very close relationships with these rabbits. And for any listeners out there that are rolling your eyes, let me stop those eyes from rolling and tell you that see this in action. See this rabbit-human relationship in action, and I'll tell you it's a real thing.
Are they diurnal?
You know, actually, that's a good question. I don't know.
I think they must be, because I've never seen rabbits at night, and you see them in the wild running around all day, and in fact, your dogs chase them.
Although, well, my instinct would be to say that they're not, because that would be a better time for predators to get at them, night predators. But then I also see jackrabbits when I'm driving around in the county at night, for example, running across the road.
Who knows?
So I have no idea. I suspect the New Mexico House Rabbit Society can answer that question on Sunday from 10 to 2 at the animal shelter.
I bet you're oh so right. So before we go, and it's almost time to go, tell us about your new dog.
Oh, he's wonderful. He came to us. He was hit by a car north of Santa Fe, and his femur, his left rear femur, was shattered, and it was going to be impossible to replate it. So one of our veterinarians, Dr. Tom Parker, who is known and loved in this community, amputated the leg, so he now has three legs. We call him Finn. He's probably between 2 and 3 years old. He's just a dreamboat. Even on three legs, he can run faster at a full clip than I can. He's integrated seamlessly into our home with our other animals.
Now, he almost ate all three of my dogs at the dog park the other day.
He gets very scared. We took him to the dog park for the first and only time, and it was an attempt at socialization, and I think it was completely overwhelming for him. He was okay at first, very curious about all the dogs, and then became quickly overwhelmed and wanted everybody to stay away from him, and made it known with barking and teeth. But we're going to work with him, and I think he's going to turn out to be an amazing dog. I am already desperately in love with him.
So adopting a three-legged dog or a three-legged any kind of animal is not the end of the world.
Oh, my gosh. No. The number of three-legged cats and dogs I've known over the last several years would surprise anybody. And they are not like us. They do not have that reflection back to the days of having all the limbs intact. They really truck around. Yeah, they're just amazing. We have Pounce, who lives at the shelter, who's a three-legged cat. Frodo, who came into the shelter. There's a very sweet Rottweiler at the shelter right now. They make wonderful animals, and their brains and bodies just completely reintegrate into having a smaller number of limbs.
Bill Hutchison is with the Santa Fe Animal Shelter and Humane Society and is with us here the first Friday of every month talking about animals. It's great to have you, and we'll see you several weeks from now.
I'll be here.
We're going to take a break right now. Robert Knott will be with us in just a minute. Please stay tuned. I'd like now to welcome Robert Knott. He is the associate editor of the Pasatiempo Friday Arts Magazine in the Santa Fe, New Mexico. He's with us just about every Friday speaking of the arts. Last week it was Thursday because it was New Year's Eve. And he is the education reporter for the Santa Fe, New Mexico. Welcome to the Radio Cafe, Robert.
Thank you. And the following song is not a Christmas song. It's just a winter song. The weather outside is frightful. Marie Charlotte is so delightful.
You're nuts.
Since we've nowhere to go, let it snow, let it snow.
Is it snowing?
Over here in Cordova, we have flurries. I don't know about the rest of the town. Apparently, it's not supposed to add up to much, but needless to say, be careful. Just a public service announcement, not related to the arts. The Santa Fe Institute is having a lecture, The Swine Flu and You, Predicting and Controlling the H1N1 Pandemic. 7:30 Wednesday at the James A. Little Theater. I believe it's Lauren Myers, associate professor at the University of Texas at Austin, that'll be speaking about this. And my understanding, my hope, is that it is free, actually. Seating is limited, but it is free. This is Wednesday night at 7:30 at the James A. Little. If you have any interest in the swine flu, go take in this talk at Santa Fe Institute. And you can look them up in the phone book if you want to find out more. Our cover story, Roseanne Cash.
All right.
She's coming to the Lensic. It's Sunday night. I'm going to say 7:30. You got to pay to get in. It's 988-1234. Rob Benziker did a really nice Q&A with her in today's Pasatiempo. She talks about the songs that she's going to be playing at this particular venue, part of the list, which is a list her dad, Johnny Cash, gave her of the top 100 country songs she should know. And so she's put out a new album with, I think, a dozen songs on it. So it's her first album of covers, and she'll be singing a lot from that. 7:30 Sunday, to Lenzik. You know the phone number. Take a look at the Pasta Tempo's Q&A to see what it's all about. We also have a couple pages of letters, which is fun. I love letters to the editor, even if they're critical of us. Speaking about our restaurant review and our movie review and visual arts review, and just brings up that whole great issue again about critics and what are they all about, and it's not for me to answer right now, but it's always an interesting debate. I want to, if you're interested in Scotland and you want to drive up to Los Alamos.
You know, just stepping back a moment, Stacey Pearl is back doing her show Mouth of Wonder on Saturday mornings on KSFR. And she gives some really harsh restaurant reviews sometimes. Sometimes she'll love it, sometimes she'll hate it, sometimes she'll say what's good and bad about it. But, you know, there is a place for that. I mean, there's some absolutely atrocious food that you go and sit at a table and pay for in this town. And it's good that somebody will, from time to time, say it.
It's a dilemma. And often on January, you've had me and Craig Smith on here talking about this. And it's a little different because I stepped off the theater reviewing a little more than a year ago. I still do movie and book reviews. And Craig, of course, has left the New Mexican to go work for the Santa Fe Concert Association, although he still has a few freelance pieces running. And it's almost like a no-win situation because I actually coincidentally met an actress last night at La Posada at the bar, and she said she was kind of glad there were no longer any theater reviews in the paper because didn't think they really did any good. And it brought up an interesting point. She said it's really just somebody's opinion. And that's, people tend to not understand that. It is somebody's opinion, and you have to assume the best of them that they're telling the truth based on their experience. Restaurant review, you should go at least twice, and which is what we do in PASA. I don't know if that's how it should be, give them a second chance. But if you're putting out your sign saying food, $20, show tonight, $20, then we have a right, the press has a right to go see whether it's quote-unquote in their eyes any good and to let the public know. It is a good consumer report sort of service. But it's also one that's always open to debate. And I get mostly annoyed with any sort of artist who wants a review, yearns for a review, asks for a review. Then once the review arrives and it's not quite the meal they wanted, then they start frankly complaining or saying, well, why do we need reviews? Well, why did you ask for one? Why did you encourage one? And that's different from a handful of people I've met who've said, I prefer not to be reviewed. I prefer that you don't send a critic. And that's a little different to me. Then I can respect that opinion. But it's an interesting debate. And you're right about those restaurant reviews. Movies and restaurants. People really respond to food and movies.
There's also, I would take umbrage with the idea this is just somebody's opinion. If the critic is any good, it's somebody's informed opinion based on a whole lot of experience watching probably way more than most readers have watched, in whether it be theater or film.
You don't have to take umbrage because I agree with you totally. I didn't say that, but you're absolutely right. Unless it's a new critic you're breaking in, which you should be honest about.
Right.
There's probably going to be a honeymoon period, which was my case back in early 93. But we've talked about that too. Find out what the critic's credentials are and pay enough attention to what the critic's seeing yourself that you can judge the critic. Okay, I went to 8 restaurants this critic went to. I went to 6 theater shows. I totally agree with you. What is the person's background in terms of being a critic?
And then there are, for example, that film by Ellen Kuras, who was honored this year at the Santa Fe Film Festival, when it came out, called The Betrayal. I loved that film. I think you gave it 2 chilies in the PASA, and I was willing to wrestle you about
that. I know
that.
It. We did talk about that, and I thought it was very mild and didn't quite drive through like a movie should, but...
And I thought it was so, you know, perfectly, fantastically good.
Right, but then there comes the question, and you and I talk about this a lot off the air, that without putting you down, you often don't have to put your opinions out there in your position here at KSFR. You're not seen as a critic.
I'm not a critic.
So, but that doesn't necessarily make me the better movie critic.
No, but I'll tell you what, there are many movies that I loathe and feel, you know, outrage and I can't believe, you know, give me my time back. Kind of.
That's the thing. You always want your time back.
You want your time. Yeah. It's like those 2 hours I will never
keep
have
the $8
again.
Or the $18, but let me have you. You invest in something and everyone thinks they're turning out something brilliant. And I'm just as flawed. I don't always turn out anything brilliant myself. And I sit there and say, okay, somebody's critical of me and they have a right to it. But anyway, I didn't mean to get off on that, but there are some interesting letters to the editor on Pasta Tempo, pages 10 and 11. Take a look. And some interesting book signings this week. They all seem to be happening Friday and Saturday. Craig Barnes, local writer, author, playwright, signs copies of his new book, Democracy at the Crossroads, at 6 o'clock tonight at the Collected Works downtown at Galisteo Street. And Bill Waters, our editorial writer, was reading the book and offered to do a book review for Posse. He did a nice job with it. So That's tonight. Take a look. Also over at Garcia Street Books tomorrow night, Dennis Tedlock is going to be speaking about 2,000 years of Mayan literature.
Yes, we had him on the air just yesterday.
Great, and that's going to be at 6 o'clock tomorrow. And likewise, pardon me, 4 o'clock tomorrow. Let me make sure I get the time right. 4 o'clock tomorrow.
Garcia hey, Street I just Books. Got a note from Mary Lynn, who is in the control room, and she said, Stacy's no longer doing restaurant reviews.
I thought you said she's back.
She is back, but she's just doing food and not restaurant reviews. Not enough time, bad food, too much money.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, that's okay, interesting.
And there seemed to be some...
Thank you, Marilyn.
Speaking of food, there seemed to be some communications group that El Nido was or was not closing yesterday.
What?
As of January 24th. And it turns out that the new owners are planning to keep it open. Having said that, it was late yesterday when I noticed an ad for El Nido saying, come by and say goodbye. January 24th is our last day.
Hmm.
However, the New Mexican was updating a story that the new owners plan to keep it open. I'm sure that can be resolved. We'll all figure that out by the end of the day today. Food-wise.
So in no particular order, let's talk for a moment about the film The Messenger, which is screening at the CCA, Cinematheque.
Like
did you
very
see that
good
film?
Acting. Very good acting.
Very, very, very good acting. And good script. And good. It's one of those movies that is, I think, flawless. And it's about... and I almost didn't review it because of what it was about. I mean, do the interview because of what it was about, which is about these two soldiers played by Woody Harrelson and Ben Foster, whose job it is to notify families that their one of their loved ones has died in Iraq or in the war. And you think, oh, my God, this is going to be harrowing. But it's a great movie.
It's a I would, again, here's where you and I split hairs a little bit. I would agree that it's a very good movie. The director, Oren Moverman, apparently set up the first half where the men go and notify,
yeah,
like improv. And the actors did not meet one another. They knew, okay, we're going to go to this house, and this is what we have to say.
Wow.
They understood that it was going to be somebody on the other side of the door. And you can feel that.
Yeah.
That rawness.
Yeah.
And I think the first half of the picture is just beautiful. And I think it's still well worth going to see. The second half slows down a little. Woody Harrelson is terrific, but Ben Foster is excellent. It's down at the CCA. My understanding right now...
And Samantha Morton, who plays that
widow yes.
is unbelievable.
She's a wonderful actress. My understanding is right now CCA, the only thing open is the Cinematheque. That will change in a couple of weeks, but that's right now the only thing happening there. Next week they're going to open Tom Ford's movie, A Single Man.
Hey, guess what? I got a notice from Stacey Pearl. I guess we've got some people listening today saying not only does she not do restaurant reviews anymore, she disagrees about multi-visits being necessary. One visit is valid because that's what most diners do. They go once and they reflect on that opinion.
That's her viewpoint. I think it's a good one. I think there's something to be said for giving something a second chance because I find restaurants here. How often have you gone to a restaurant? It's great. The second time, it's fair. You'll give it a third chance. Just as but where she's right, I think, is if you go the first time,
if you go
it's
once
bad.
And it's terrible.
If it's bad, then probably you're absolutely right about that.
Hey, I also got a message from Sloan saying that all the rabbits, we were talking about rabbits and how you could adopt a rabbit, they're all spayed and neutered.
Oh, boy.
So they're not going to multiply like rabbits.
No, they're great. Also, what's great to have is like a calico cat that thinks it's a rabbit, except it doesn't have the ears. Has that ever happened to you?
No, that's never happened. I don't even know what you're talking about.
Speaking of the Santa Fe Concert Association.
Yes.
Amahl and the Night Visitors. That's Menotti's one act about some kid that's hanging around and the three kings come visit him.
Named Amahl.
You've
seen one, you've seen Amahl.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was her joke, not mine. It's 7 o'clock tonight, Scottish Rite Center. It is free. Call the SFCA, 984-8759. If you've heard Amahl, you've heard him. It's three events over the weekend. Two of them are fully costumed. One at the Santa Fe Public Library Southside, 2 o'clock Saturday, is more of a concert performance with just a piano. It would be great for people on the Southside to go see this holiday classic. 984-8759, free, Amahl, and the Night Visitors, Santa Fe Concert Association. Now, this is interesting. Warehouse 21 does some edgy work sometimes, and they're doing a teen production of Gypsy, which is about a stripper.
Mm.
Gypsy Rosalie, very naughty. Anyway, opens tonight at 7 o'clock. It's not too expensive to get in. 989-4423 continues through the weekend, various shows. Not expensive at all. Go support local teen theater, Gypsy.
Now, this coming week on Monday, the Santa Fe Neighborhood Network announces a candidate forum. Mayoral candidates from 7:30 to 9:30 on Monday, the 11th of January, and then the following Monday, the 18th of January, also 7:30 to 9:30, Santa Fe City Council candidates in contested districts 1 and 2, and uncontested candidates in districts 3 and 4, and they will be held at Christus St. Vincent Hospital in the Southwest Conference Room behind the cafeteria, open to the public, free. Issues concerning neighborhoods and questions can may be asked.
Excellent. Folk singer-songwriter A.A. Bondi, really interesting profile of him in today's Pasa by Paul Weideman, 7:30 Tuesday, Santa Fe Brewing Company. Call 988-1234 for information. On Thursday, Cordelia Thomas Snow is going to give a lecture about transporting luxury goods over the Camino Real.
Yeah, we had her on this show.
When?
Last week.
Okay, well, you know all about it then.
This week, early this week.
6 o'clock Thursday, no charge at the New Mexico History Museum Auditorium down on Lincoln Avenue. Here's a phone number for you, 476-5200. There's some groups in town that are looking for volunteers. One of them is Santa Fe Pro Musica, looking for ushers, concession assistants. Call 988-4640, ask for Tony. And the Art Center up at Fuller Large is looking for artists to submit work for sale through the gallery shop. Call 662-9331. And the Santa Fe Complex over on Agua Fria Street is seeking proposals from visual and performing artists, musicians, and composers, as well as video installation artists. Call for submission guidelines. Here's the phone number, 216-7562.
And the New Mexico School for the Arts is accepting applications. It's a statewide charter school, and it's the only charter school whose applicants have to... It's based on not lottery, but actual application,
right.
Audition...
Talent, drive,
and merit. So it's going to be a very
opens
intense
in
and interesting school. It opens in September, and it's all sorts of arts, visual art, dance, I think theater, and music.
Yeah, probably everything but film, yeah. And it's going to be located over in the old...
Cathedral School.
Right off Alameda and Paseo de Peralta.
Yep, and so for more information, you can go to nmschoolforthearts.org.
If you want to drive down to Albuquerque, Revolutions International Theater Festival kicks off starting Tuesday. It runs through the end of the month at various locales in Albuquerque. They would occasionally come up to Santa Fe, but they're not doing that this year due to the economics. Tricklock.com's the... website, and Patricia Sautoff, a really good writer, did a nice piece for us in Pasa Tiempo today about Trick Lock. Take a look and see.
Hey, Guillermo Gomez Pena is going to be speaking and reading at Tipton Hall on Monday. Is it Monday, the 14th of January, at 6 o'clock in the evening?
Pretty good.
And he is the founding member and artistic director of La Pocha Nostra.
Oh, that reminds me. I like the picture that Victor Alvarez made with Savor, the One Among Thousands. It's going to be playing.
Yeah.
It's going to be playing at...
at the Jean Cocteau Theater.
That's right.
On Wednesday of next week.
Just two performances.
Seven and nine. And we have an interview with him coming up on Monday morning with music.
I love the music in the movie. It's really nicely done.
It's very sweet.
And it's less than 80 minutes long. And mm-hmm. It's tight and plays over there at the Jean Cocteau. But Savar is playing tonight at El Farol at 9:30. Cover charge. I think they're playing at the Dragon Room at the Pink Adobe at 6 before they do the 9:30 gig. So it's going to be a busy night. Over at Tin Star Saloon, you got the Jimmy Stadler Band doing classic rock at 9:30. Small cover. Tiny says the Jakes tonight, 8:30, no cover.
Hey, I just made a mistake. They always do their lectures on Monday. So, ladies and gentlemen, put the day of the week, too, on your press releases. But anyway, January 14th is a Thursday. So the Guillermo Gomez Pena is on Thursday, January 14th, Santa Fe Art Institute.
Good. Also, I'll plug Steve Terrell, who has a column for us in Pasa. He's actually going to team up with Greg Turner and Lenny Hoffman for some Aztec Cafe action at 7 o'clock tonight. No cover. So if you want to see Steve Terrell in action,
yay.
See which politicians in the state come to see him. It's not always too popular with them. Sunday, you can check out Celebrations, 5:30. Irish Session with Jerry Carthy and Colin McAfinchy and Robin Keynes and Matt Ritchie. Call for cover charge. And also Sunday night at El Farol, Nacha Mendez, Latin music, 7 o'clock. Have fun with that. And I'll even put in a plug for Michael Hearn and South by Southwest at the Santa Fe Brewing Company at 7 o'clock Sunday. I'm focusing on Sunday night. What time is it?
8:50.
Man, time flies when you're talking about bunnies.
I know.
Say, what's happened so far for you for New Year's? Fun stuff?
What do you mean?
Well, you know, since we've been like, how many days into the New Year's? A week.
I think we're, by the way, I think we're doing very well and not giving each other a hard time. And
that was our goal today, just have one day of nice reporting. If people say, gee, they're not very lively, it's just that we're going to be very sweet to one another.
What do you mean one day? How about 52?
Look, we've been doing this for 6 years. It ain't going to last 52. We'll be lucky if it lasts 5.2. Let's just go with a happiness today. We're very nice and sweet to each other. Let's lightly touch each other's hands and shoulders and caress one another's cheeks. And my God, you have beautiful eyes.
Shush.
No, stop. Don't cuddle in with me. That's a little too sweet. She's, oh, this is like a little bunny that we're going to have over at this.
You know, it's funny. I've been watching. I actually made New Year's resolutions this year, which I never do because they don't work. But I actually made a few this year. And one of them, stop it, Robert, is not to watch television or watch very little television. And so I haven't been watching very much television, but occasionally I do watch, besides the requisite South Park and The Daily Show.
The celebrity ghost stories that's on A&E?
No, the Turner Classic Movies. And I always think of you because there's always somebody who talks in that 1940s
I
quick
been
whippersnapper.
There. There's people that claim that I was born around 1920 and then I come back or something, but I don't think that way. I'm not against anyone that thinks in reincarnation, but I just have that feel for that era, and I love it, and I love those pictures. And, yeah, I would have been over at Monogram
Studios. It's not that you're reincarnated as one of those people. It's just that you're channeling them.
Well, that's fine. I can channel. And, yeah, but anyway, A&E has this new show called Celebrity Ghost Stories.
Uh-oh.
And they get these – no, listen. They get these, like – no, I shouldn't say has-beens, but people that maybe aren't quite famous anymore, like the people from the Brady Bunch. And then they tell stories about, like, what happened, and they reenact them with actors. And so they have ghost stories being told by – staring at me like it's not. It's
no, I'm actually looking at a notice from the Wheelwright Museum. There is a private screening. I don't know what private means because they asked me to announce it, which to me means it's public. But
that
anyway,
always throws me too.
A screening of on Sunday, this coming Sunday, the 10th of January, of Blue Alchemy: Stories of Indigo.
That's correct.
And that, did you announce that already?
No.
That's, oh, okay. It's a feature documentary about the history, culture, and revival of the blue dye that weaves and engages, no pun intended, an engaging story about remarkable people around the globe who are using indigo and projects to improve their lives and communities, preserve cultural identity, and create beauty in the world.
Nice.
And that's at at 3 o'clock at the Mary Cabot Wheelwright Library. Free admission, refreshments, Q&A. So if you're in any way interested in textiles and indigo dyes and all the cultural stuff surrounding it, that's something to do this weekend.
Nice. Let's say it's Thursday night and you live in El Dorado.
Let's say.
Pamela Christie will be out there at the Vista Grande Public Library. And
oh, she's great.
She's talking about Dead Lizards Dance. Have you read it?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, so there you go. Speak about it. I haven't read it.
It's a historical fiction set right here in Santa Fe with some great characters. And, yeah, definitely. And she's a good writer and a great lady.
Are there car chases and sex scenes?
There are no car chases in 17. When does it take place? It's a pre-car.
Oh, what about the other thing?
You'll just have to read it and find
out. Oh, you're being a good publicist for her. 7 o'clock Thursday night, Pamela Christie down in El Dorado. 466-7323, Vista Grande Public Library.
And
Dead
as always,
Lizard's Dance.
Dead Lizard's Dance. And as always, Geist Cabaret. David Geist at Pranzo Italian Grill. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday from 6 to 9 in the evening. And nice to start out your new year remembering some of the people who are always there that you shouldn't take for granted, because he's a real treasure and does sort of Broadway-style piano and singing and nice thing to do when you're over at Pranzo.
It is, and to take that a little farther, it's true of a lot of local musicians that stay out there playing every night hoping you will listen to them, come support them, maybe put money in the tip jar. And going along those lines, I'll just run through a few. On Monday night, the Burton Dalton Trio is going to be playing at La Fiesta Lounge at La Fonda at 7:30. That's Monday night. It's free. On Tuesday night, you can go over to Chispa de El Mason. Tango Milonga is doing dancing, 7:30. No cover. That same night, by the way, if you go up to El Farol, Canyon Road Blues Jam with Tone Forest, 8 o'clock. No cover. We're talking about Tuesday, El Farol. Wednesday, Cowgirl, Martin Burke Band, Americana, 9 o'clock, small cover charge, Wednesday this is. And at Bill Hearn Trio, one of my favorites, at La Fiesta Lounge Wednesday night. That's a freebie. At the same time, you've got Tony and Brandy doing jazz at the Silver Starlight Lounge on Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, no cover. And finally Thursday, just naming a few of them, there's a lot of listings in Pasa. Down at the La Posada de Santa Fe, you're going to have Ramon Bermudez Jr. and Friends, light jazz, no cover. And you're going to have Cocktails and Ivories with Elliot Fisher, 7 o'clock at the Silver Starlight Lounge Thursday night. Most of these cover charges are very minimal, if at all. Go support your local musicians. It's a good time of the year to do it.
And don't forget, tonight at Gig on 1808 2nd Street, 7:30, Isla Cantor and Matt Brewer.
That's right.
Isla is a guitarist and composer. Matt is a bassist and composer. And then tomorrow night, same time, Bruce Dunlap, local guitarist, and Matt Brewer. And suggested donation, small, intimate listening space.
Good. And movies, there's a bunch of them. Today, Pedro Almodovar's new Broken Embraces. Terrific picture.
Really? I haven't seen it yet.
Vargas,
love his movies.
Go see it.
Oh, my goodness.
The screen is celebrating Chekhov with a series of Russian-made films based on the playwright, writer, former doctor's works.
Another film to check off your list.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, it's her doing these bad puns today.
Sorry.
That's why we're getting along. The Maid is opened and closed at DeVargas in about 3 days. The screen's picking it back up. Jonathan Richards gave it a pretty sterling review in today's Pasa Tempo. Youth in Revolt will probably be big with people who like Michael Cera and that whole business. It's based on the book about the kid in the trailer park who comes up with an alter ego to impress a girl. Not like you and me have ever done that.
You and I.
Yeah, that's what I mean, the two of us. Although you have that evil twin sister of yours. She is naughty. The other night that I spent with her, the things she does that you don't do on first dates. Anyway, that's at Regal Stadium 14.
Oh, you mean DJ Carlotta?
Yes, you're the youth in revolt. And of course, if you like vampires, Daybreakers with Ethan Hawke. It's about vampires trying to find out what else they can eat so that they don't deplete the world supply. That sounds upbeat.
Hey, did you mention Don Curry, Pete Springer, and Andy Prim at this Friday and Saturday at La Fiesta Lounge at La Fonda?
I did not.
Oh, okay.
Because I jumped ahead inadvertently to Saturday and kept going. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's a good one. I hear that music. I hear music and there's no one there.
There's music.
I see your eyes and I think they're fair. I love your smile and I love your hair. This must be love. This must be love.
Robert,
no,
we got through the whole show,
without
made
fighting.
A few stupid jokes. We didn't, I don't think we ever fight, but
no.
We bicker.
But there was no altercations.
There's no altercations.
I need some altercations.
There's no alter egos.
That's why it's over there in the tailor shop. I have some altercations done tomorrow. So.
Robert Knott is the associate editor of the Pasa Tiempo Friday Arts Magazine in the Santa Fe, New Mexican. He's with us here just about every Friday. Speaking of the arts, from 8:30 to 9, he is the education reporter for the Santa Fe, New Mexican. More and more education reporting that you're doing starting when school starts
in
again.
In about 2 weeks, I'm supposed to be back on that beat. So, and just got delayed due to things in Pasa Tiempo. Sorry, nobody's fault, but yes, I'm still there. Roseanne Cash, cover story, Pasa Tiempo, pick it up.
Yay.
Santa Fe, New Mexican.
So, my name is Mary Charlotte. You've been listening
that.
To the Santa Fe Radio Cafe.
I've been
broadcasting live from the Santa Fe Baking Company.
It's nudist day. Nobody's got no clothes on here.
It's so cold out. It's ridiculous. We are streaming on the web at ksfr.org 24/7. You can listen to this show anytime you want, thanks to Santa Fe's Dotfoil Computer Services at santafe.radiocafe.org. I've opened it up so you can post comments. I'm not exactly sure how you do that, but you might be able to figure it out. You can also find us at facebook.com/radiocafe. My email address is radiocafe@ksfr.org. Marilyn LeBlanc, wonderful engineer who we are very lucky to have at KSFR. Stay tuned for the BBC, followed by local news by KSFR's award-winning news team. And after that, Jazz a la Carta.
I'm going to be on KSFR tonight at 6:30 talking about movie reviews.
Yay! Bye.
Adios.